Hey, friend, I know how this feels. Waking up exhausted after multiple trips to the bathroom and feeling embarrassed by sudden leaks. I used to be constantly on edge, searching for a restroom whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Woman. I was skeptical at first, but 2 months in, everything changed. I experienced improved bladder control. No more heart-stopping moments when I laugh or sneeze. Less urge to go, deeper and more restful sleep. I finally felt like myself again, confident and in control. Better Woman is natural, effective, clinically tested, and trusted by women for over 25 years. Ready to take back your control? Head over to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Uses directed, individual results may vary.
In the crucial final year of World War II, the spearhead leader of the 3rd U.S. Army, General George S. Patton, Jr., stood on top of a half-track near the battlefield of Hoville, France, looked around him at 800 Negro tankers of the 761st Tank Battalion, and said,
"Men, you're the first Negro tankers ever to fight in the American Army. But I ask them to send you here for only one reason. They sent you with the hardest driving, hardest shooting tankers in the States. I don't care what color you are, so long as you live up to that reputation, which happens to be mine, too. I have nothing but the best in my army. Your tanks will be expected to take everything up to Goering's castle. That's all I've got to say. Now get in your tanks and come out fighting."
Destination, freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. In a chapter entitled The Tiger Hunt, Destination Freedom tells a part of the story of the 761st Tank Battalion through the eyes of one of its heroes.
"And so you rode and fought up all the hills from France to Goering's mountain castle. And your tank had rolled over Nazis unnumbered, and your gunners had torn up 30 towns. Then you rode up the slope to Goering's castle, not in your Sherman tank, but on a medic stretcher. Your gunner and your driver were up ahead digging a grave in the castle yard. And when they brought you up on the stretcher, your gunner stopped digging and spoke to you.
How do you feel, Lieutenant?"
"Fine."
"Cold, isn't it?"
"Yeah, very. I'm fine, though."
"Hey, you hear that, Hawk? Lieutenant's feeling okay. Hey, can't you guys finish that later?"
"Oh, sure. I didn't see you guys come up. Sorry, I didn't see you, Lieutenant. Hey, you guys, come on over, will you? Come on over here."
Others who were digging other graves came shyly over, giving awkward salutations. All men you had fought with from D-Day to this day. And the colonel came up. As usual,
men,
he was impatient.
"Men, your tanks have got to be rolling before the sun is up. Let's get on with it. Get these graves dug."
"Colonel, they brought out Lieutenant Mitchell."
I'm sorry, Mitchell."
"It's all right, Colonel.
I don't want to rush this thing, but you know better than anyone how they need those tanks up there. The infantry will be mowed down like wheat without our tanks, and, well, this is the last push."
"I said it's all right, Colonel."
"I thought you'd understand, Mitchell. What are you guys standing around for? Come on, Sergeant. Dig in. Come on."
You lay on the stretcher while the colonel went off to check on the other graves in the long yard of the castle that your tank crew had captured from the chief of the Nazi Luftwaffe. You lay on the stretcher while the spades dug into your soul, rounded out the last place your legs would rest. While the sleety rain washed your face, the gunner and driver stopped. The gunner said to you,
There she is, Lieutenant. Think it's deep enough?"
Looks like it."
"All right. Come around, you guys." "I said come around!"
"All right, yep, take it easy, man."
"Where's the colonel? You want the colonel here, don't you, Lieutenant?"
"Doesn't matter."
"Who called me? Everything ready?"
"Yes, sir."
"All right. As I said, you hear that, don't you? German 88s. We're scheduled to attack in 10 minutes. Every last one of you men ought to be in your tanks right now. Ready.
Colonel.
Yes, lift the coffin down. What are you waiting for now, Gunner?
The chaplain. Oh, go call the chaplain, huh?
Sure.
Captain Williams!
And you lay back again on your stretcher as the driver you had nicknamed the Hawk went off down the line of graves and pulled away Chaplain Williams and brought him back.
Colonel, did you want me?
Yes, you know what this business is about.
I do.
I don't know how to go about it, but Mitchell here wanted it. I don't know how to start.
I know.
All right, proceed.
All right, men. Swing the coffin down.
All right, easy now. Take it easy. Got your hand now. Hold it.
The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?
You lay still and quiet as the coffin containing your legs slips down into the wet grave. You hear the Nazi cannons calling for your tanks, and you feel the colonel's impatience to answer them. You lick the rainwater off your lips, and there seems to be a fog coming down over your eyes. You hear the chaplain's words echoing in your mind, and you wonder if your feet are cold in the coffin. You strain not to see it going into the earth. You listen. Listen a long, long way back. Back before the tank battles, before the target practice, before the long ride overseas, before you'd ever seen the inside
come
of a Sherman tank.
Come on, Frank, come on.
You remember that day
come
when
on,
you knew your feet were warm,
on,
when you
Frank.
Had them out at the Chicago Stadium, flying over the boards in the 200-meter dash, pushing ahead of the field on, while the coach called you on. And you shot across the finish line, and suddenly your ankle twisted. You sagged to one side and fell headlong on the board track.
Oh, just my foot.
Wait. Don't stand on it. Lean on me. Here, like this. I'll get you into the dressing room. Come on now. Here, help me with him, Joe.
Coach.
Now, don't talk. Just lean on me. We're almost there.
Did I win, Coach?
By half a link. Now, open the door, Joe. And now lie here on this bench. I'll see about this foot. Not broken, thank heaven.
What was my time?
I didn't have time to check my stopwatch. I was too worried.
Oh, check it now.
Huh?
Check it.
Now, let me see. I should have known it.
What?
20.4. Oh. One-tenth off the world's record.
Hot dog!
Now, watch that foot. Now, watch it.
Yeah.
What did I tell you, Frank? What did I tell you? Another year, they won't be able to keep up with you. Half a year from now, with the right training, you ought to be able to top Jesse Owens. I mean it, Frank. You've got the best legs and the best kick I've seen, and I've seen the greatest come and go.
20 and 4 tenths.
For a kid who once had polio in those legs, you've come a long, fast way, Frankie, my boy. You sure like to run, don't you?
Yeah. I guess since those days when I was laid up with polio, seeing all the other kids run and me crippled...
Yeah.
I've been wanting to break out. Yeah, break out. I guess now I'd rather be the world champion sprinter than anything else.
Yeah, and you'll make it, too. Just train the way you're supposed to, and the country will see a runner they only grow once in a generation. Yes, sir, you just take good care of these feet. Keep them warm, keep them out of accidents.
Yes, you remember the coach and how he cared for your feet. Now, 4,500 miles away, after your feet had carried you through 5 countries... through minefields, through Nazi camps. They were going down inside the cold coffin here in the castle's grounds. You smothered an outcry as the chaplain committed your coffin to the dust. You remembered the long walk of your feet to the grave began when you wondered if you had done right to volunteer for the war when your coach told you.
Sure you did, Frank, sure. You go in now, no time, it'll be over, and you'll be back on the track, and if you keep in shape...
That's what I'm worried about.
Then don't worry. If you keep in shape, you'll come out and be ready to crack that 200-meter record.
It just might be a long time before I get out.
It's all right. You need the seasoning. No, I'm not kidding you. Believe me, you've got the kind of muscles that'll last. Keep those feet in shape, and even if it takes 3 or 4 years, you'll be able to come back to college and crack that record.
You really think so?
I know it. Kind of outfit did you sign up for?
The 761st.
What's that?
Heavy tanks.
Oh.
You looked down at your feet, and you thought of the coach's words. And already you were impatient for the war to be over. Even when you underwent the rigors of officer's training, your feet were tapping impatiently under your desk while the instructor showed your class the anatomy of the heavy Sherman. You quickly memorized everything he said. You picked up the ABCs of tank warfare. You went out to Camp Hood and learned how to direct the guns and command the platoons of the 32-ton land bombers. You learned your lesson well, for you were in a hurry to get into the war, to come back home before your bones had aged too much to crack the 220 record, and perhaps the 440, as well as 200 meters. You whirled through the Texas training camps and learned to handle the levers, the clutches, the periscope of the big Shermans, as though you had been born in them. When the great day came, you were sent across to England, then France, and into a field 7 miles northeast of Nassy in the Moselle Valley, 40 miles from Metz, where the infantry was pushing into the murderous barrage of Nazi shellfire, and your colonel called his new officers in for their first assignment.
Men, come to water, men. Come to water. As the general said, we're glad you tankers are here. We've been waiting for you for a long time. Some of you were fresh from OCS. Remember, you've got crackerjack men under you in those tanks. Gunners, drivers, cannoneers, they're good and cocky. The only way green officers can get their respect is to earn it. Here's your chance to do that, especially you young officers.
You looked straight back at the colonel, and you knew he was referring to you, Second Lieutenant Frank Mitchell. You were the youngest officer ever attached to the Third Army. You had just passed your 18th birthday.
Now, all of you new officers, I guarantee, will be old men before this battle is over. Now you've looked at the maps, you know where you're supposed to go. The Third Army's been stalled in front of Metz since September. You know the infantry divisions you're to support. That's all there is.
That's all she wrote.
Now synchronize your watches. When I say now, it will be 4:05. 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, we move out at 500. Good luck!
You remember easing down off your toes and going to your company. You got your men together under the nose of a big tank. You remember their cool stares at their new commander as you wrapped up the map.
Now, are there any questions about this mission before we shove off? If not,
aren't you forgetting something, Lieutenant?
I don't think so.
You remember as soon as you said that you wished you hadn't. They were looking for fault.
Would you mind telling us who's going to lead the platoon, Lieutenant?
That was one of the gunners, the one they called the Lip, who kept asking.
I thought it understood that I'll command the lead tank. Is there any disagreement with that?
A tall, thin tank driver the men respectfully called the Hawk spoke up.
Sir, usually the commissioned officers ride in the rear of the flank tank. Better protection. The Jerrys try to knock out the first tank and... Well, the battalion can't afford to be losing officers that fast. You understand? No disrespect.
Besides, Lieutenant... Perhaps some of the men are more familiar with the terrain than you.
You knew they were laughing at you, and you knew they were right. Already a thick snow had begun to fall and covered the ground like a white blanket, and you knew in the ride into the Nazi-held town your tanks would stand out like black targets. You knew all you wanted to do was get through the war safely, come home, get back on the track field, crack the 220. Still, you said...
I see what you mean. Then suppose you ride in my tank as my gunner.
Me?
And you, Sergeant Harvey.
Yes, sir?
Since you're noted for the Hawkeyes, you'll be my driver. I'll command the lead tank.
Hey, friend, I know how this feels, waking up exhausted after multiple trips to the bathroom and feeling embarrassed by sudden leaks. I used to be constantly on edge, searching for a restroom whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Woman. I was skeptical at first, but 2 months in, everything changed. I experienced improved bladder control. No more heart-stopping moments when I laugh or sneeze. Less urge to go, deeper and more restful sleep. I finally felt like myself again, confident and in control. Better Woman is natural, effective, clinically tested, and trusted by women for over 25 years. Ready to take back your control? Head over to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
We'll pull out in 10 minutes.
You knew the lead tank could be your coffin, and it was the last tank you wanted to command. You inspected it carefully, trying to hide your nervousness from the five-man crew of veterans who coldly watch you check the radio.
Gunner?
All right, sir.
Driver?
Yes, sir.
Cannoneer?
All right, Lieutenant.
You checked
all right,
your
men.
Contact
Stand
with
by.
The other tanks in your company.
Tank 12.
All set, sir.
17?
Yes, sir.
15A.
Okay, Lieutenant.
You checked
36.
Fire extinguisher,
yes,
water,
77.
Food,
yes,
periscope, 91. Searchlights.
Ready
before
to
you
roll.
Climbed into
20,
the lead
yes,
tank and slipped and down through the turret.
Yeah.
You looked at your watch. It was 500.
All right, men, let's go!
You saw Tank 12 nose out of line, and 17, 15A, 36B swung after it, maneuvering to get behind you. Your head was over the turret, and you could see in the distance the snow-capped hill of the town you're supposed to take. You swung your feet down inside the tank and touched the shoulders of the Hawk. He stepped on the gas. Then you headed towards the snow-capped hill. Your feet were cold, and you remember the coach's warning to keep them warm. You knocked them against the sides of the tank, saving them for the record-breaking back home. The infantry had joined you. The Nazi artillery joined you, too. The first shell missed, and you tapped the shoulder of your driver.
Left lever, driver. Back up. Now ahead.
You jerked your tank off the shell's line and called to the others on your flank.
Tank 12, fall back and cover 36B.
Yes, sir.
77, move over to your right.
Your tanks moved in towards the town, and Nazi artillery was laying down a bitter barrage. You gave the orders for your tanks to zigzag as they came near the hill. Then suddenly the platoon was swamped by mortar fire from hidden pillboxes, and an 88 shell screamed down, went through the tank behind you like a fist bursting through paper, keeled over on its side, and flames shot through its turret top. The shells were coming at you so fast now you didn't know when to look or what to do next. From inside your earphones, your driver, the Hawk, was talking to you.
There's a road to the left, Lieutenant. If we take it, it'll lead to town. Lieutenant, there's a road on the left. If we
All right, take it, take it.
You let the Hawk swing off on a winding road that crawled up the hill and reached a flat plateau that led into the city. You watched how he worked lever, clutch, brake, lever, clutch to keep from being in the same place twice when the artillery hit. But when you reached the plateau and crashed down the road to the town, only 3 out of your 10 tanks were left to follow you.
Calling Tank Commander A. Tank Commander A.
And on your radio was the voice of the colonel.
Tank Commander A.
Our infantry succeeded in getting into the right flank of the town. Enemy's got anti-tank guns guarding the streets on the left flank. Swing around to the right if you can. Swing around if you can.
You couldn't swing back because the streets were too narrow. Bullets from machine gun nests were striking your 6-inch armor like hail. And for an instant, you felt an odd sense of security as you heard them bounce off, and the Hawk called,
"Machine gun nest, dead ahead."
All right, hit the gas.
Your driver hit it. Your tank jerked at the treads and pulled, crashing over the 5 machine gunners behind a hedgerow in a barnyard, and kept crashing right through the buildings. Now you were running up a long street that seemed minus pillboxes. You approached a corner, called to your driver.
Right lever, driver, right.
You shot your command back through the earphones, and almost at the same time, the Hawk pulled back on the right lever, swung the tank around the corner, and then it hit you. A German anti-tank gun down the street spotted you and blasted your tracks off before your cannoneer could cut back at them with his 76. Then from the other end of the street, their 88 spoke. And your tank rolled over on its side and smoke poured through the slits and turrets. You heard from somewhere in the tank a scream of pain from your assistant driver. You felt his body pushing past you as trying to get through the turret.
Hold him, Lieutenant! Don't let him go out on that slab! Hold him!
I'm trying to, but I can't. He's getting out.
Oh, Lord, they got him. They're just sitting out there waiting for us to crawl out.
Where's that smoke coming from?
From the oil line. It's not on fire yet. I'm going out the emergency turret. Is everybody here okay? Right. You okay, Lieutenant?
Okay.
Where's the lift? Dobie? Harding? All right. I'll go first. If I'm hit, try getting out the turret on the back. Cover me.
You watched the Hawk's body wriggle out of the narrow steel door, and 4 men left inside the tank held their breath until they heard him say,
"All right, on this side, come out. Easy now. Easy, take it easy now. Everybody."
You crawled out of the steel coffin and huddled under the tank with your 4 men. Down the street, you could see your tank crew 12 stuck fast in a tank trap and being peppered by Nazi gunners.
Say, look over there. You see what I see? Look, look.
I see. Who is it?
It's Justice. He's tangled in his own machine gun belt. Oh, holy smoke.
You looked and saw Justice, the nickname for the crack gunner of Tank 97, wounded and tangled in a gun belt behind the third tank.
If we could get to him before their machine guns get to him.
As long as he stays on the lee side of the tank, they can't hurt him unless... with their guns unless they...
What?
In fact, we're all on the lee side. They can't get any of us unless...
Unless what?
Unless those gunners get up and move across the street where they get at us broadside. Why, you know, we could live here like this all night. They're using the big guns for the tanks coming in on the other side of town. All we gotta worry about is the machine gunner getting up and moving his equipment across the street. Just snuggle up to the tank, Lieutenant. Snuggle close.
You edged close to the wrecked tank and peeped out and caught sight of one of the Nazi machine gunners swinging his gun your way.
Lieutenant, he's gearing up. He's gotten wide. He's fixing to slip across the street where he can view us all broadside.
Oh, Lord, ain't there nothing we can do?
He'll be going from one building to another. We won't even be able to shoot at him with small arms. Get out! Get out!
Maybe they're not moving.
They're moving all right. Just bullets to nail us down while they scamper across the way. Look, they're moving now. Oh, Lord, they'll make it over there in 20 seconds. Hey, where are you going?
Something snapped inside your head when you saw the Nazi's feet moving across the square. You shot out across the square yourself, measuring the distance with your eyes and making the 200 yards over to Justice's tank and his tangled cartridge belt in less than 20 seconds.
Justice, swing around.
Help me get out of this, help me.
Now, hold still, hold still. Here. Now, slide back. Get behind the cabin. I'll hold the belt.
No.
Hurry.
Hurry.
Aim it.
Like this.
They saw you, but you got them first. When the smoke cleared away, the machine gunners were scrambled over the square. The town of Mevy was yours. You had been baptized. All the hawk said when he drove you back to the colonel's headquarters was,
"Man, where did you ever get them feet? You either know you're the fastest man in the army or you just got more gut. Anyway, brother, you sure can run."
All right. That was a good job in Mevia. But Mevia's not Berlin. No resting on your laurels. The Yankee Division's asking for tank support, and I am assigning them your company, Lieutenant Mitchell. Yours, Lieutenant Gates. Yes,
sir.
Yours,
and the Lieutenant Colonel Hill. Called you in again and again and sent your tanks rolling through France and crashing into Germany with the Third Army. And the veterans took you under their wing. You learned to tell a Nazi 88, bazooka, mortar, 76 by the sound. A baby-faced kid... No. Sergeant Warren Creasy of Corpus Christi got into your company and got the reputation for being the boldest killer of the battalion. The name of your battalion spread fast, and the havoc it wrecked in enemy lines became a byword among the infantry of three divisions.
Proceed to Hebelice.
You heard the colonel's orders directing you as you speared 30, 40, 50 miles into the Reich ahead of the nearest Allied division. You helped capture the town of Hersbach, sending back your reports. You rolled on with 1,600 Nazis wiped out by your turret gunners in one day's fighting around Umbach. You raced your weary platoon so far ahead of battalion headquarters one week that the voice of the colonel faded from your radio. You brought your Shermans up to the streets of an oddly shaped village. You had been on the roll 183 straight days. Everywhere the Nazi had retreated. You had before you a vast expanse of plateau. Yes, you had been wounded twice and you had lost 19 of your best men. You had saved your precious legs and they itched to get home.
Hey, Lieutenant, what kind of town is this? Funny looking buildings, ain't it?
Hankin had come over to stare down a slope at the town. They say you and the crew of the second tank were staring.
Yeah, it looks like a big bakery.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't smell like dough, though.
It doesn't look like bread ovens either.
The lip had moved up. The lip, the best gunner in the outfit, who had skirted all the way down to Dachau with C Company.
They don't bake bread in those ovens.
Huh?
They're incinerators. They bake people.
It was then you heard a shot ricochet off your tank turret, and you spoke sharply.
Yeah, the guards are still there. Get in the tanks when I move out. Follow me.
You crashed down through the gates. Your 36 caliber guns raked the guard posts and cut down like wild weeds the Nazi soldiers around the incinerators. Then the hawk got out and opened the gate for the prisoners still alive. And they came out, living dead people, women, children, and the aged. They came out thanking you, saluting, bowing, praying, crying, kneeling, and kissing them. Russians, Hungarians, Romanians, Norwegians, Swedes, Germans, mostly Germans. And it was here, standing humbly before the ghosts of people who once stood tall and proud and strong as you stood. Here, for the first time, you forgot the record-breaking back home and forgot whether your feet were swollen or cold when the colonel caught up with you.
Mitchell, proceed immediately to Neuhaus. The battalion's meeting stiff resistance there from the Hermann Göring division.
Neuhaus?
That's right below Göring's castle.
Yes, colonel. We can leave now, sir.
And, lieutenant, watch out for the tiger tanks of the Göring division. They're the King tiger tanks. The Sherman's no match for them.
Yes, colonel.
Steer clear. Yes.
You said yes, but you had a cold premonition. When your tanks were rolling up a slope headed towards Göring's castle high on the bluff of the Hart Mountains, you heard the explosion of an 88. You knew the Nazi King Tiger tanks were nearby, and you heard your gunner shout,
"Coming down on your right flank, Lieutenant. Two Nazi Tiger tanks."
And your driver said,
"Shall I pull back, Lieutenant? We can cut through the road here and head for the woods."
"No. Head up towards the mountain. Hunt the tigers."
You knew you had given them the answer they wanted to hear. You knew this might be your last tank mission. And you threw open the turret, stood head up where you could see clear. The two Tiger tanks had backed the lobe of a hill and were waiting for you.
"All right, Hawk. Move out. Move out!"
You heard the Hawk shift his gear and your 32-ton tank crept up on the 80-ton Tiger. And still they waited behind the hill for you to come closer.
"Load your armor-piercing shells."
"Ready, Lieutenant."
"Move up, Hawk. We'll go almost up the hill." "Good. Pull over the lobe just enough to shoot. Right lever. Right lever. Pull back. Good. Now left lever. Hold it. Hold it. Left lever. Let it go."
And backwards and forwards you jerked the Sherman while the Tiger tank's 88 stung at you. You knew one hit would tear your tank to pieces. And still you closed.
Feeding,
wheedled the tank back and forth, jockeying it until the Tiger tank became impatient and its crossed swastika nosed over the hill.
"All right, lift. Let him have it. Again. We got him. Hawk, lift. We hit him. He's burned.
Watch it, Lieutenant. The second one's coming down. He's headed straight down."
"Right lever, right lever."
"I can't use it. It's stuck."
"Then throw it forward. All throw right. it. Swing around. Side swipe it. Lift. Let's hear you."
You jockeyed the Sherman sidewise as the Tiger tank came down the narrow mountain road leading up to Göring's castle. You had shot his half-track off and his 88 was silent, but when he struck you, lightning slithered up and down your brain, and for one blazing minute everything below your knees was on fire. It seemed 100 years later when someone pulled you, lifted you through the turret of your Sherman. It was the Hawk.
"Easy now, Lieutenant. Don't try to move it. Oh, Lord, at your legs.
What happened to the Tiger?
Lieutenant..."
"Show him, Hawk, show him. It'll make him feel better."
"Gunner, bring the prisoner over."
You stood in pain while the gunner went behind the Tiger tank and came back with the black-suited major from the Hermann Göring division. This was the Nazi.
"All right. What's your name?"
You expected him to salute, but when he saw that you were all Negro tankmen, he looked puzzled, then fearful at your drawn 45s, and he pulled his hands out of his pockets and slashed across his throat.
Hey, stop him! He'll commit suicide! Stop
him! Limp, let him alone!
No, but Lieutenant, don't you see?
I do see. I said let him alone.
But he...
Let him alone. Okay.
You held them back with your eyes as the Nazi major fell forward and twitched on the mountain snow. And when he stopped, you knew you had changed. Changed too many ways to think of what you once had wanted and once thought the world was like when you set out from Chicago with nothing on your mind but getting back home and breaking the 200-meter record. You had changed because when the battalion surgeon Garland Adamson came and said you would never run again, you don't remember feeling anything or thinking anything. You remember them asking you where you'd like to have your legs buried. You looked up past the hill to Göring's castle, thought of the humanity you had released from the incinerator town. You had said, "Plant my legs that I had hoped to break a world's record with in the ground like they've planted the dead Jews and Russians and Germans and Poles in the concentration camp. Plant them like seeds. When I go home, I'll know they're growing over here in good company."
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of The Tiger Hunt, the story of the 761st Tank Battalion. Today's script was dedicated to the heroic actions of Sergeant Frank Greenwood, Lieutenant Eliseo Taylor, and the 700 other members of this remarkable battalion. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham, produced by Homer Heck, and directed by Dick Loughran. The part of Lieutenant Mitchell was played by Fred Pinkard. The narrator was Tony Parrish. Others in the cast were Russ Reed, Oscar Brown Jr., Jess Pugh, and Stan Gordon. Special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Elwin Owen and Jose Bethencourt. Our technician was Al Johnson. Sound effects by Cliff Mueller and William Rose. This is Charles Chan inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will tell the story of the famous poetess Gwendolyn Brooks. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.